Well, you suggested that the word gentleman didn't apply to me. You said that what I'm telling you is insulting, and that anyone with more than a sixth grade education would could hardly be fooled by this presumed nonsense that I'm telling you. That kind of talk is the best and most graceless way of admitting you haven't gotten much in the way of an argument. As far as blacks' feelings about the United States, I think it's significant that in suburbs of Atlanta and Washington, D.C., there are areas where you have to pay $400,000 or $500,000 for a house, but the only people who are living there are blacks. These are people who could afford to live in white neighborhoods if they wanted to, but they prefer to live in black neighborhoods. I think there's nothing surprising and nothing unusual about that.
The thing that you're missing here, and the point that really should be brought out, is the conflict that's going on is not so much racial in situations between blacks and wanting to live together. It's more economic. And you're going to find that even if there were no people of color in this country, whites would be at each other's throat because of economic classes. And that's the new frontier that's going to be coming up here very shortly, is those with and those without clashing against each other. And that's the classic sign of people just not being able to get along.
When is the last time you've heard of police having to be called to a high school because the rich children and the poor children were fighting each other? I don't think I've ever heard of that happening, whereas it's quite common in places where there are large black and Hispanic populations for there to be police called because the blacks and Hispanics are fighting each other. The divisions that people feel viscerally are not so much class, but racial.
Jim, thanks for your call. Ernie and Ron, you'll be next on the Steve Brown Show on Talk Radio 1290 KCAR. Ron is with us. Good morning, Ron. You're on the Steve Brown Show with Jared Taylor.
Good morning, Steve. Good morning, Jared.
Morning.
I agree with you, Jared. I think you're absolutely 100% right. One other thing that disturbs me is the fact that our government just seems, on all levels, just seems to ignore the wishes of the people as far as immigration is concerned. We are ignored. I talked to a state senator here not too long ago, and I said, I understand you want to bring in 100,000 Mexicans into Iowa. I said, why do you want to do that? Well, he said, you know, we don't really have a big labor force here, and we need a bigger labor force. And I said, well, in case you're not keeping up with current events, my friend, I said, the economy is not doing well. There's a lot of people out of work. Well, he just kind of shrugged it off. The other thing that concerns me is that I don't know what they're doing over here in Council Bluffs, but I know in Omaha the school system is really strapped for money. But they're spending $6 million to teach kids how to speak Spanish. I've heard all kinds of figures from 4,000 to 40,000 that it costs the government when they bring in immigrants to feed, to shelter, to try to teach them something so they can get a job. Do you know what those numbers are by any chance, Jared?
It depends on what research you're looking into, but who's doing the research. But clearly, there is a cost to immigrants. Immigrants are considerably more likely than natives to be on welfare, to go to jail, not to have any kind of medical insurance. There's a tremendous out-and-out financial cost to immigration. Well, I think the reason why people are so hesitant to criticize immigration is because it is so common to have the reaction of the previous caller, who basically accused me of being a bigot and a hood-wearing Ku Klux Klansman, and people are terrified of being accused of that kind of thing. It's about time, though, that people got a little bit more backbone and said, look, we're concerned about our country, we're concerned about the country we're going to leave to our grandchildren, and these things have to be stopped.
Well, I think there's one other step, and I don't know whether Steve or maybe you can help me on this, but in California, remember Proposition 13?
Yes.
Well, you know, the people had to petition the state to change the state charter so they could do those things.
That's right.
And what happened, see, I don't know how they do that. I think in Iowa, Nebraska, and all these other, there's five states, by the way, you can do that. And I think we're going to have to do something like that because our government does not represent us, in my opinion.
No, I think you're absolutely right about that. As I said earlier in this program, poll after poll has showed huge majorities, 80 to 85% of Americans want less immigration. They don't want more people, first of all, and they certainly don't want people who are unlike themselves in every possible way and more likely to be criminals, going on welfare, etc.
Well, Proposition 13, as you know, was a result of the fact that they had so many Mexican immigrants and immigrants of every nationality that they overburden their welfare system.
Well, I think you're now thinking of Proposition 187.
Maybe that's it.
Yes, but
they overwhelmed the welfare system and the schools. Then they wanted to pass that on to the taxpayer and say, well, we need a lot more taxes. And the people said, hey, wait a minute. We're not going to go along with that.
That's right. Well,
and they passed it. The people shoved it. You know, the people said no, and they petitioned it out. It went to court, and the court, I think it had to even go to a higher court. But the people won that.
Well, it went to a federal court where a federal judge basically gutted the effect of Proposition 187. The trouble with immigration is that it's a federal matter, and there is no equivalent of a petition to legislate federal law in the same way that you can put propositions on the ballot in certain states of the United States. We have to beat on our congresspeople to do something about that.
What did the federal judge say then on Prop 187?
Well, part of the program was that public schooling was to be denied to people who had broken the law to get in here, illegal immigrants.
I see.
And Judge Marianne Felser was her name, a federal judge. She said, no, you can't do that. You got to send them to school. Also, there were certain aspects of public welfare that she says, no, you can't. This is discriminatory.
So Jared, I'm sorry, man, but we're flat out of time here. I want to thank you for joining us.